Amen. Praise God. As I start this morning, I want to say that everyone who is here should know that you matter more than you know. Not only that, I should want to say that everyone should know that life is worth the struggles. Some of you have come in through great struggles. You've come in from great struggles. But you should know that life is worth the struggles. There's a work going on inside of you that would not be completed or done unless those struggles existed. And the other thing that I want you to know, and everyone here should know, is that how much we need you in this life. We need you now with us in this life. See, too many people I know quietly battle with silent despair. Too many people that I know, they battle quietly with silent depression. So many people cover up the emptiness that they cannot talk about because they feel that they will be seen unspiritual if they talk about those things with church people. And even those of us in the church, we do not understand or know how to deal with someone who is going through a depressed season, a season of despair. And because we have this notion that we've got to be up on the highest point all the time, we don't know how to handle people who may be going through despair and even depression. And so we have our pet sayings that we come out with and we say, well, just read the Bible and you'll be just fine. Or we say, well, you know, you need to pray. You just need to pray and you'll be fine. Or even we'll go a little further and say, the problem is you just don't have enough faith. And so now the blame for their depression and the blame for what they're going through is now put back on them because they don't have enough faith. We act, you know, as if, as we read the scriptures, that the people we read about in the Bible, they never face struggles that we go through. They never went through the same seasons that we have to face as we go through our lives. But the fact is that the people of the scriptures, they faced exactly the same things that we have to face as we are walking with God, as we walk through this life. And we get to the place of feeling that they never had to go through that. But I ask you, have you read your scriptures lately? Have you read, for instance, the Psalms of David? David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? On another occasion, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. He said on another occasion, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. And then have you ever looked at Elijah, one of the greatest prophets, if not one, the greatest prophets of the Old Testament? He said this on one occasion in 1 Kings 19 verse 4, O Lord, take my life. He was such at an end of himself. He said, take my life. And then we talk about Jonah. And Jonah said on one occasion, it is better for me to die than to live. And have you read recently the words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Before he died on the cross, he was in brokenness and in prayer. And he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. See, what we see in Scripture is that many of the people of Scripture, they had these enormous moments of heroism and then terribly dark moments of despair. And I have to say to you that not only then, but this happens to me too. Now, you may be disappointed to hear it from the one it is seeking to lead you, but I have these moments of high exhilaration and then deep moments of despair as they sweep over me at times too. I think it came from Letty's side of the family, actually. Because you know it's not my fault. I mean, I don't get depressed. I get reflective and deep and quiet, and I shut myself away. But I'm not depressed. But you know, Letty reads me like a book, and she'll say to me, "Why are you down?" I hate it when she says that. You know, there's a chapter in the Bible that I go to because it speaks right into who I am. And it is found in the 1 Kings 19, the first book of Kings, chapter 19. And it's the story of Elijah the prophet. He had got convinced that he now is in this place of despair. And in this chapter, he is so convinced about this moment of despair that he felt it could never change into better moments in life for him in the future. See, the truth is, the moment you believe in a brighter future, you can always overcome the darkest moments of despair. When you now begin to believe that there's a brighter future than what you're going through at this moment, you will begin to make your way out of despair into the bright future that now is promised ahead of you. Now, before I read to you the scripture, I need to give you a little backdrop to the story that we find in 1 Kings 19. Elijah the prophet has confronted 400 priests of a false god, and in one of the most dramatic showdown battles in the scripture and in all of history, it is that now he wins this amazing battle. He had proven that the God of Israel was the one and only true God, even to the point that he called down fire from heaven that destroyed an altar and also destroyed these prophets of the false god. It was an enormous victory that saw all these false prophets humiliated and wiped out. And he's on the highest of a high. I mean, he's at the highest point of his life. Now let me read what happened next. 1 Kings 19 verse 1. When Ahab got home, that's the king, when he got home, he told Jezebel, who was his wife, he told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the way that he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them prophets." So here's the message that comes to Elijah. And she says, "Let the gods kill me if I haven't killed you in the same way you killed those prophets." And that's where it all began. You're not out of town by sunset, Elijah. And look what happened next in verse 3. It says, 1 Kings 19:3, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. So this caustic, snippy remark by Jezebel, King Ahab's evil wife, got Elijah. Elijah, after seeing the enemy's powerful weapons taken out, and all the prophets of Baal now killed off, and he was feeling so good that he missed the sniper's bullet. Caught him off guard. Was it that he was drained after hours of prayer and struggle and fatigue? But the fact is that Jezebel's sniping shot at him and he went into a suicidal depression. Now you would think that having seen God move in such a mighty way on that mountaintop and the prophets being wiped out, you would have thought that when he had seen the odds against him wiped out, that he would have laughed off this woman's evil remark. But Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Let's read on. It says in verse 3 and 4, it says, he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Note that. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. So stop there for a minute. You need to be careful of this tactic of the devil and of your mind. This tactic, it says, it's tied up in those words. He left his servant there and went on alone into the wilderness. Listen, friends, the devil always wants to take us into isolation. He wants to separate us from our friends and our loved ones. He wants to take us now to a place of total separation and isolation. Because he knows this. If he can get us alone, we will listen to his negative, evil lies into our life. When we separate from those who would encourage us, when we separate from those who love us, when we allow our feelings to take us out and to take us away from communicating with those we love and the friends we have, now the devil knows he has free course to lie his evil lies into our minds and into our hearts. He knows that we will alone always listen to his negative, life-destroying lies. Listen, friends, he's always trying to take us out. Now, some Christians may not believe in the devil and that he can take us out. Well, I don't call you idiots, but that's an idiotic thought. The fact is this, friends, that the devil is real and he is very much at work and he wants to take us out. Always trying to take us out. You know, when I was 50, my family put on a wonderful celebration. A party I'd never forget. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. But I have to be honest, in my mind, it was a little early. See, I feel that the party and the celebration should have been when I was 54. I tell you why. See, all my life from being 19 years of age, the devil had told me that I would die when I was 53. See, my mother died at 53. And the devil would, in my lonely moments, he would come and tell me, you will not get past 53 years of age. You will die like your mother died. And friends, I want to tell you, he is evil in his work. And he wants to separate us from those who love us most. He wants to get us into the wilderness of our own negativity and our own thinking and his evil lies into us. So back to Elijah. It says in verse 4, I have had enough, Lord, he said, take my life. For I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread and bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. He laid down and slept. Hey, I have a question for you. And, you know, I've told you before, you've got to be honest in church. If you're not honest in church, you get slapped. Here's my question. Have you been getting enough sleep lately? Now, occasionally we are called on to go without sufficient rest, and we have reserves that we can call on at those moments of time. But that's got to be the exception and not the rule. See, when you make it that it's the rule of your life that you go without sleep, then it means you will live with regular fatigue. If you don't get enough sleep, I can guarantee that you will suffer from chronic and maybe even clinical depression. You will feel like the man who said he not only had an identity crisis, but he also had an energy crisis. He didn't know who he was, and he was just too tired to find out. Hey, listen, and you may be in this super spiritual category that maybe you don't agree with this, but the fact is we still come under the laws of God's nature that were built into our bodies and into our emotions. And we cannot regularly violate those laws and expect to get away with it. You see, the fact is that neglecting sleep violates God's laws of nature. And we hate to hear that. The young people, especially nowadays, hate to hear that. They call themselves night people, when in fact all it is that they're stuck in front of a screen and they won't go to sleep. I knew an older person would agree with that. But the thing is, Ethel, I wasn't calling you old. I'm so sorry. I didn't. But I want to tell you that we are going to have problems in generations to come because of this absence of sleep. We can't do that. You know, God is the only one who says, I neither slumber nor sleep. So when you don't give yourself to sleep, you're saying you are God and you can carry your burdens yourself and you can carry the load yourself. No, we've got to train ourselves to sleep and to get the amount of sleep that we need. Now, notice what God does here. Read verse 5. It says, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. So I've got another question for you. And it seems so practical, but these practical things are important. And the question is this, are you eating properly and regularly? You know, I read this just recently. It read like this. My niece, who is a doctor, at one time specialized in emergency room treatment. I asked her, what do you do when depressed people who have attempted suicide are brought into the emergency room? She surprised me when she said, well, sometimes the first thing we do is to feed them often a steak dinner. They are generally low in protein, and we often discover that they have not eaten properly for 2 or 3 days. Their protein level is very low, therefore their energy level is low and their depression level is high. You see, there are Christians who are consistently neglecting the physical area of their lives, either under-eating or over-eating, and then they wonder why they are depressed. Now, the reason I want to highlight Elijah here is that this was the lowest point in his life. Of all the prophets in the Old Testament, he stands head and shoulders above the others in this spiritual stature. Elijah was one of the great prophets of all time. But I wanted to highlight him to show you that we can so build someone up in Scripture that we get to feel they should never have bad days, but he did. I want you to see that success does not mean that you won't have bad days. Some of you here feel that when I have success, I will no longer be depressed. Or others think, well, when I have money, I won't have down days. And there's others who feel, when I have a spouse of my dreams, I will live happily ever after. You need to learn from me this morning. Learn how to handle depression and down days now, before you have all those things, because having all those things is not going to mean you won't have down days and depressive seasons. See, I've been, and forgive me for this, it may seem that I'm being proud here. You know, I said in first service, you know, you get to a place where you say things and people think things about you. But I have to be honest with you, I'm at the age now where I couldn't care less what you think. See, I have been in what this world's eyes would call successful. Many, many of the dreams that I've had for my life have come to pass. You would think that all my days should be up days and continual highs. But the truth is that in one day I can have an enormous high, but a terribly low low. It's all according to whose voice I'm listening to. Who am I listening to in my soul? Now, tell the one next to you, if you don't know what your soul is, it's your mind and your will. All right, just tell them that. Your soul is your mind and your will. And so, who am I listening to in my soul? Who are the voices that I'm giving heed to in my soul? And no matter how successful I am, I battle the voices that are seeking to pull me down every day. Now, I'm thankful these days that God's voice these days drowns out the enemy's voice more often than it is that I find that his voice is drowning out God's voice. But friends, it's all according to whom I'm going to listen to in the moment. Who am I listening to in that moment? I have to get you to see, friends, that the emptiness that we sometimes feel is not the absence of God. When you're going through low times, when you're depressed, when you're going through times where it is that you don't know what's going on, and you feel even that God is absent, that is a lie from the devil. You're listening to a voice that is an enemy, because God has said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm going to be with you always. And so, it does not mean the absence of God. When you get to feel, oh, I feel God isn't with me anymore, and that's why I'm depressed, and while I feel empty on the inside. But listen, God was with Elijah. Oh, I like to get the picture of him running, and he's running for his life. He's totally depressed, and he's running for his life, but God is right there keeping up with him. God is running at his side. And it is that God is there with him. And then sitting under the bush, where now he says, kill me. God, kill me. Which is absolutely idiotic words. If he really wanted to be killed, all he had to do was to stop running and wait for Jezebel. She'd have done the job for him. Sitting under that bush, he says to God, kill me. And God says, nah, have a rest and I'll fix you a meal and I'll have an angel wake you up when it's ready. Hey, don't let anybody tell you that because you're down and depressed and tired that God is not with you. I want to tell you he's nearer than you know. God was right there with Elijah and he's right there with you right now. He is with you. He's not left you. He's not deserted you. The devil makes you feel that God is absent. He isn't. The devil shouts loud and you feel that you are alone. You are not alone. God is there with you. And listen, it's a bad thing when you push your friends and your loved ones away from you. That's a bad thing in itself. But listen, when you begin to try to push God away, when you try to push Jesus away, you are attempting something that can never happen. He says you can push as much as you like. I can take the pushing. I'm going nowhere. I am with you till the end of the earth. See, the scriptures say this. Listen to this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's not giving up on you. God's not going to leave you. He's not deserting you. He's not going anywhere. He is with you in the midst of the storm, as we've heard earlier today. If you try to push him away, he is not going anywhere. He will be with you through it all. Now, here's something else you need to see as well. We are susceptible to our lowest lows almost always after our highest highs. Oh yeah, it's when you're on your highest high that you need to watch for the sniper's bullet. It's when you're on your highest high that some of the most crazy and negative things begin to happen. Now some of you won't accept that because you live at a place called denial, and denial is not a river in Egypt. Denial. You deny the reason for what is called spiritual warfare. Oh yeah, get that word, those words into your mind, spiritual warfare. You see, it's because we have an enemy who this side of heaven, while we're on earth, will never leave us alone. We have an enemy that will attack us, an enemy that is watching for our highest highs. He knows that we are susceptible at our highest highs, and he's ready to snipe at us. He's ready to come at us, and it always happens when we're at our highest highs. And when we deny that fact, when we deny the fact of spiritual warfare, that we are battling voices in our minds, we are battling this voice that is the negative voice of the enemy that is coming against God, and he is now coming against God by getting at us, and that there is these voices that we're listening to, God calling us on to greatness and the devil taking us down. It is according to which voice you listen to as to whether you're going to get the victory or not. Denying it will mean that you're going to get beat up every time. Now, having told you that, let me rush with something else for you to take away today. It is these words: it's not as bad as it seems. All right, now, will you please turn to the one next to you? And even if you have to shout a long way, will you turn to the one next to you and say, hey, it's not as bad as it seems. Will you tell them that? Shout it in their ear. It's not as bad as it seems. Remember Elijah? Well, God asked Elijah two times. He said this: what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah, he answered him in the same way two times. Let me read you one of them. He said in 1 Kings 9 and verse 10, Elijah replied, after God said, what are you doing here? He says, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Notice, they are trying to kill me too. Elijah was almost saying, are you kidding me, God? You ask me why I'm down and why I'm in depression. Haven't you seen what's happening here? I've been trying to serve you because your people have been unfaithful to you. And they've torn down your altars and they've killed every one of the prophets. And I'm the only one that's left. Hey, God, it's bad. If you haven't noticed, it's got bad here. And God said, are you kidding me, Elijah? You have one woman shouting at you. One woman shouting at you. It's not as bad as it seems, Elijah. You may be here today and you're in your downtime and you have the voices saying, it's never going to get better, you know. You're not coming out of this, you know. You've gone too far this time. It's always going to be this way with you. You're never going to get better. So you might as well sink any hopes that you have. Listen, friends, you can't let the voices tell you that this moment that you may be going through, which may be the worst moment in your marriage, the worst moment in your life, the worst moment for your finances, the worst moment, you haven't got to allow the voices to say to you that what you're going through right now is going to define your future. It is that you're not going to allow the voices to say that what you're going through now is going to affect you way into the future. And you're not going to get any better than this. It's not going to get it. You need to talk to yourself right now, right? You need to talk to yourself and you need to say, it's not as bad as I think. All right. You're going to shout that. Are you ready to shout it? Are you ready in the balcony to shout it? Yeah, come on. It's not as bad as I think. You didn't shout it. You just said it. I want you to echo it around. I want every demon in hell to hear it. I want every voice that is speaking negativity in you to hear it. I want you to shout out, it is not as bad as I think. Say it again. It is as bad as I think. One more thing before we'll pray. God said, hey, Elijah, you're actually not alone. You're not the only one, Elijah. 1 Kings 19, verse 18 says, I have 7,000 others in Israel who have not bowed the knee to the enemy Baal or kissed him. You know, when you kissed an idol, it means you give allegiance to it. And God was saying, you're saying you're all alone. That's not how it is, Elijah. I've got 7,000 others that have neither bowed down to Baal or kissed him and given him allegiance. You know, I have to be honest with you. I'm prone to feeling lonely. It comes from me being the youngest in my family, I think, and also being told that I wasn't really expected or maybe even wanted. I was loved. I couldn't have been loved more than I was loved in my family once I arrived. But I've always had this massive feeling of loneliness, and I can drift into it now and again. I can be in a crowd and feel the odd one out. I can be in a crowd and just sink into the back and this massive feeling of loneliness. And then voices come and say, well, you know, you're not of much worth. And you don't mean much really to anyone. You wouldn't be missed if you disappeared. then I'm gripped by self-pity and loneliness. And the devil has tricked me on that one so many times. And he tried it a few weeks ago, and I stopped him in his tracks. And I literally said to him, "Oh no, devil, not this time. God's told me I am part of a family, both here in America and in the UK, the majority who have never bowed the knee to you or given you allegiance." I said, not only that, I'm a part of a community called Riverside Community Church, the majority of which have not bowed the knee to you or given you allegiance. Oh, not only that, devil, I'm part of millions and millions and millions around the planet who have not bowed the knee to you or given you allegiance. And I said, not only that, I am part of billions and billions and billions of people, and one day I'm going to be with them, and they are people who have never bowed the knee to you and given you allegiance. I am not alone. Now we're going to pray. The devil's told you you're alone. That's a lie. The devil's told you that you are worthless, youthless. No one would miss you if you were gone. It's a lie. There's a community of people here that love you and want to love you. You may be here for the first time. I want to tell you, you've come into a church that wants to love you, a church that wants you to be a part, a church that wants you to know there's a community of people here right in the heart of this city who have not bowed the knee to Satan and we've not given him allegiance. We stand together in the power of Christ. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So listen, I want any of the prayer team that are here, pastors and the wives, if you will come forward right now, I want you to be ready to be honest. I want you in this congregation to be honest right now. And if you've been going through this silent despair and this silent depression, oh, you got to get honest. You haven't got to worry what your wife thinks or what your husband thinks if you come for prayer. You haven't got to worry what others around you are thinking. You got to be honest and say, God, I can't face this life without you. And if I'm going to overcome these negative voices, I need to hear your voice louder than the devil's voice. And God, I'm coming to you. I'm surrendering to you. So please, prayer team, will you come forward now, please? And all those pastors that may be here, I want us to be ready for people being honest. Oh boy, these are great people that are coming to pray for you this morning. But you got to get honest. You got to say, I stand in the need of prayer. I need the community of God's people around me. And if you're in need right now, I want you to get up out of your seat and come. Just come and go to any one of these and they will pray with you. They will pray with you. That's right. That's right. Don't be afraid. Go wherever you want, along this line. That's right. Oh yeah, it takes a lot of guts to say, I'm through with these negative voices. I'm going to listen to God this morning. I'm going to say, it's not as bad as I think. And God is with me. That's right. That's right. If there's anything inside of you saying, you ought to be up there, and you are still sitting down, it's because you're listening to the negative voice and not the voice of God that's calling you forward. So please, please make your way forward. Julie's going to sing a song, and as she does, I want you to come. There are others out there that I know are knowing you should be up here. And I want you to come because prayer is going to help you. Hey, turn to the one next to you and say, hey, if you don't want to go up on your own, I'll go with you. Just tell them that, all right? And bring them up. And let prayer happen and let freedom come. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this song and we'll wait for you to come.